I am Dune, and this is part two of Return of the Mummy by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. If you notice the big sound difference, sorry, the cat just left, I'm back to recording in the bath. You know, it's been a long time, and I figure, hey, it's the last one of the original series that I have to do, unless I redo the other ones, which I might. And, you know, I might do a throwback one. Yeah, back in the bath. Got a steel reserve here, obviously. Let me crack that. Shout out to, ATI Podcast and Jimbo Jangles. And apologies to people. I know people have been sending me stuff on Facebook, but I'm just so bad with Facebook now. Along with, like, feeling better, I have just not been checking Facebook. So the best way to reach me is... Instagram, Dune, _M, _? I don't know. I'm doing great. I know that's a big departure from the last episode. Things are good. I've been busy. I'm good. Like, you know, there's various elements that have made me happy through the way. And I'm just back to kind of being functional. I'm waiting to hear on one specific job. And if that doesn't come to fruition... After a meeting in the next week, I'm thinking about moving to Santa Cruz, as for the first time in my life, I don't really have a lot of shit going on. And one of my best friends just got a job at Netflix. And I might move. Like, I've never lived anywhere but San Diego. So at least that's not a huge difference. It's, you know, much closer to San Francisco and the Bay Area, which I like. But it's still a beach town in California, but... Who knows? Shit. Yeah. Fuck, let's get into this. We have another sip of this. I'm reading from the tablet as all my Goosebumps books are still packed away. Chapter number 12 of Return of the Mummy by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I'm Dune, that's why it's Dune Reads Goosebumps. And again... I like that I just continue my introduction. And again, I will still be putting stuff out. I don't know if it's going to be Give Yourself Goosebumps or Goosebumps 2000s or Goosebumps Welcome to Horrorland or another series or whatever, but I'll be around. You can find me where you normally find me. Chapter 12 again. I let out a startled cry. Let me rest in peace, the booming voice done repeated. I saw... Uncle Ben lower his chisel. He spun around, his eyes wide with surprise. I realized the voice came from behind us. Ooh, must be a top. I turned to see a man I had never seen before, half hidden in the shadowy tunnel. Definitely a top. He made his way for us, taking long, steady strides. He was a tall, lanky man, so tall he really had to hunch his shoulders in the low tunnel. Bald, except for a fringe of dark hair at the ears. It's like an inverse size proportion Frank Reynolds. He had a slender face, an unfriendly scowl on his thin lips. Maybe he needs some lip liner. You know, get his hair all crunchy, wear the lip liner, do his eyebrows. He wore a perfectly ironed safari jacket over a shirt and necktie. I still always debate whether or not just always dressing like I'm on a safari. I know it's a terrible plan, but something about it's very appealing to me. His black eyes, like little raisins, glared at my uncle. I wondered if the man ever ate. He was as skinny as a mummy himself. Omar! Oh, was he whistling the farmer in the dell? Uncle Ben started. I wasn't expecting to see you back from Cairo. Let me rest in peace, Dr. Fielding repeated, softer this time. Those are the words of Prince Koru, written on the ancient stone we found last month. That was the prince's wish. I think Prince's last wish was, to have slightly less opiates in his system, or at least some Narcan. Omar, we've been over this before. Scarlet, don't mess with that. My uncle replied, sighing. He lowered the hammer and chisel to his sides, like a communist giving up his beliefs. Dr. Fielding pushed past Sari and me, as if we weren't there. He stepped in front of my uncle and swept a hand back over his bald head. Well, then, how can you dare to break the seal? Dr. Fielding demanded. Why would you get into archaeology if you didn't want to fuck with dead people's shit? I am a scientist, my uncle replied slowly, speaking each word clearly and distinctly. I cannot allow superstition to stand in the way of discovery, Omar. I am also a scientist, Dr. Fielding replied, using both hands to tighten his necktie. But I am not willing to defile this ancient tomb. So you're not like really an archaeologist. You're just like a bro to the dead. I am not willing to go against the wishes of Prince Khoru. And I am not willing to call the words of the hieroglyph mere superstition. This is where we disagree, says me, Uncle Ben said softly. He motioned to the four workers. We have spent too many months, too many years to stop just outside the door. We have come this far, Omar. Whatever. We must go the rest of the way, like Moana. Dr. Fielding chewed his lower lip, presumably sensually. He pointed to the top of the door. Look, Ben. There are the same hieroglyphs as on the stone, the same warning, let me rest in peace. I know, my uncle said, frowning. The warning is very clear. Dr. Fielding continued heatedly, his tiny raisin eyes narrowed at my uncle. If anyone should disturb the prince, if anyone should repeat the ancient words written in the tomb 5 times, the mummy prince shall come to life, and he shall seek his vengeance on those who disturb him. Wait, so how many times has he repeated it so far? They're Beetlejuicing us here. So he said, let me rest in peace in the last chapter, because I heard it at the end. I also heard me lying about saying I was going to maybe do it the next day, and it's been like 2, what, 3 months? So he says it twice here. I don't know. You can go back and listen. Point is, he said it close to 5 times, right? Whatever. Listen to those words. Listening to those words made me shudder. I stared hard at Uncle Ben. Why hadn't he ever told Sari and me about the prince's threat? Why hadn't he ever mentioned the words of warning they had found on the ancient stone? Was he afraid he might frighten us? Was he frightened himself? Nah, no way. Uncles never get frightened, and Goonies never say, ah, I don't know. Hey. Maybe don't meow right now. I mean, you can, but it's going to be annoying. He didn't seem at all frightened now as he argued with Dr. Fielding. I could tell they had this argument before, and I could see there was no way that Dr. Fielding was going to stop my uncle from breaking the seal and entering the tomb. This is my final warning, Ben, Dr. Fielding said, for the sake of everyone here. He motioned with one hand to the four workers. Superstition, Uncle Ben said. I cannot be stopped by superstition. I am a scientist. Really? Why are you yelling? Stop. Can I just go past the cat meowing? I cannot be stopped by superstition. I am a scientist. He raised the chisel and hammer like a proletariat should. The seal will be broken. Dr. Fielding tossed up both hands in disgust. I will not be a party to this. I will be a party to any party. And if someone at a party asks me if I want a party, I will say yes, because I know what that means, he declared. He spun around, nearly hitting his head in the tunnel ceiling, then muttered to himself. He hurried away, disappearing quickly into the darkness of the tunnel. Scarlet, I will splash you with a little bit of water. What do you think of that? Yeah, just more where that came from. She's gone. I wasn't mean to her. I think she got like one drop on her. Don't call the cat cops. Disappeared in darkness. Uncle Ben took his few steps after him. Omar. But we could hear Dr. Fielding's footsteps growing fainter as he made his way out of the pyramid. Uncle Ben sighed and leaned close to me like Robert the Smith. I don't trust that man, he muttered. He doesn't really care about the old superstition. He wants to steal the discovery for himself. That's why he tried to make me stop outside the door. I didn't know how to reply. My uncle's words startled me. I thought scientists had rules about who took credit for what discoveries. Uncle Ben whispered something to Nyla. Then he made his way back to the four workers. If any of you agree with Dr. Fielding, he told them, you can just fuck right off right now, assholes. The workers exchanged glances with one another. You have all heard the words of warning on the tomb door. I do not want to force anyone to enter the tomb, Uncle Ben told them. But we have worked so fucking hard, one of the men said. We cannot stop here. We have no choice. We have to open that door. A smile crossed my uncle's face. I agree, he said, turning back to the lion seal. What is that? Is that like a sea lion? A lion seal? Ah, fuck it. I glanced at Sari and realized that she was already staring at me. Gabe, if you're scared, Daddy will let you leave, she whispered. You don't have to be embarrassed. She never quits. I'm staying, I whispered back. But if you want me to walk you back to the tent, I will. A loud clink made us both turn back to the door. Uncle Ben was working to pry off the gold lion seal. Ah, he should put that on a chain and give it to Kanye. Nyla had her camera poised. The workers stood tensely, watching Uncle Ben's every move. Uncle Ben worked slowly, carefully, encouraging Dune to drink Steel Reserve. He slid the chisel behind the ancient seal and gently pried and scraped. A few minutes later, the seal fell into my uncle's hands. Nyla busily snapped photograph after photograph. Uncle Ben carefully passed it on to the workers. This is not a Christmas gift, he joked. Obviously, it's not a Christmas gift. There's not like a lot of Christmas in Egypt. Like, I remember when they had revolutions, all the Muslims were like protecting the Christians and vice versa, but I don't think it's a big population, or maybe it is. I'm pretty ignorant to the world, and, you know, most of what I know about Egypt comes from the desert zones of various video games. Anyway, I'm keeping that for my mantelpiece. Everyone laughed. Uncle Ben gripped the edge of the door with both hands. I'm going in first, he announced. If I'm not back in 20 minutes, go tell Dr. Fielding he was right. More laughter. That's how they laugh in Egypt. Shut up, you haven't been there. Two of the workers helped to move Uncle Ben slide the door open. They pressed their shoulders against it, straining hard. The door didn't budge. It might need a little oiling, Uncle Ben joked. Well, isn't he the jokey one? Leave the fucking jokes to me, I guess. Adding swearing and calling children gay is not really joking. It's just kind of annoying. After all, it's been closed for 4,000 years. They work for several minutes with picks and chisels, carefully freeing the door. Then they tried once again, pressing their shoulders against the heavy mahogany door. Yes, Uncle Ben cried out as the door slid an inch. Then another inch. Then, you know how much? Another inch. Everyone pressed forward, eager to view the ancient tomb. Two of the workers moved the large spotlights, aiming them in the doorway. I was trying to do the music from the Indiana Jones ride, but I'm like too tone deaf, and I just kind of meowed like the cat just got yelled at for doing. Two of the workers moved the large... Oh, fucking A. As Uncle Ben and his two helpers pushed against the door, Sari and I stepped up beside Nyla. Isn't this amazing? Nyla cried excitedly. I can't believe I'm the only reporter here. I'm so lucky. I'm lucky too, I realized. Good job checking your privilege. How many kids would give anything to be standing right where I am? How many kids would love to be one of the first people in the world to step into a 4,000-year-old tomb in ancient Egypt, in a pyramid and shit too? That's a specific location. The faces of some of my friends back home suddenly popped into my mind. I realized I couldn't wait to tell them about my adventure here. The door scraped noisily against the dirt floor. Another inch, another inch. The opening was almost big enough for a person to squeeze through. But not yo mama! Move the light a little, Uncle Ben instructed. Another few inches, and we can go in and shake hands with the prince. The door scraped open another inch. With a great heave, Uncle Ben and his helpers forced it open another few inches. Yes! He cried happily. Nyla snapped a photograph. We all pressed forward eagerly. Uncle Ben slid through the opening first. Sorry bumped me out of the way and cut in front of me. Hey, no cutsies and pyramids. My heart was pounding hard. My hands were suddenly ice cold. I didn't care who went in first. I just wanted to go in. One by one, we slipped into the ancient chamber. Yeah, that joke's too easy. Finally, my turn came. I took a deep breath, slipped through the opening, and saw nothing, except for a lot of cobwebs. The chamber was bare. Totally bare. Chapter number 13. I let out a long sigh. Poor Uncle Ben. All that work for nothing. I felt so disappointed. I glanced around the bare chamber. The spotlights made the thick cobwebs glow like silver. Silver don't glow, dingus. Our shadows stretched across the dirt floor like ghosts. Ghosts don't stretch. I don't know what ghosts do. I turned to Uncle Ben, expecting him to be disappointed. Too, but to my surprise, he had a smile on his face. Move the lights, he told one of the workers, and bring the tools. We have another seal to remove. He pointed across the empty room to the back wall. In the gray light, I could make out the outline of a door. Another sculpted lion sealed it shut. I knew this wasn't the real burial chamber, Sari cried, grinning at me. As I said, the Egyptians often did this, Uncle Ben explained. They built several false chambers to hide the real chamber from grave robbers.
Wait, if he's going to go for the second seal, if there's another visible seal, why would that stop the grave robbers? Like, they'd be like, we opened one seal, fuck it. We'll just ignore that other one.
He pulled off his hard hat and scratched his hair. In fact, he continued, we may find several empty chambers before we find Prince Khoru's resting place. Like when you are a kid and tried to hide your porn in New Folder 1, New Folder 2, New Folder 3. Please don't click. Just school projects. Definitely school projects. Essays. And then it was like, but.bmp. Nyla snapped a photo of Uncle Ben examining the newly discovered door. She smiled at me. You should have seen the expression on your face, Gabe, she said. You looked so disappointed. Oh, I know. My parents have that look all the time. I thought, I started, but the scrape of Uncle Ben's chisel against the seal made me stop. We all turned to watch him work at the seal, staring across the cobweb-filled chamber, trying to imagine what waited for us on the other side of the door. Another empty chamber? Or a 4,000-year-old Egyptian prince surrounded by all of his treasures and belongings? Work on the door went slowly. We all broke for lunch and then returned. That afternoon, Uncle Ben and his helpers, the Rice Boys, worked for another couple hours, carefully trying to remove the seal without damaging it. As they worked, Sari and I sat on the floor and watched. The air was hot and kind of sour. I guess it was ancient air. Sari and I talked about last summer and the adventures we'd had in the Great Pyramid. Nyla snapped our picture.
Almost got it, Uncle Ben announced. We all started to get excited again. Sari and I climbed to our feet and crossed the room to get a better view. The lion seal slid free from the door. Two of the workers placed it gently into a padded crate. Then Uncle Ben and the two workers set to pushing open the door. The door proved to be even more difficult than the last. It's really stuck, Uncle Ben groaned.
It would be funny if there's hieroglyphs on one side, and it was like, you know, like bird, eyeball, cat, and it just meant like pull, you know. But it probably didn't.
Also, I don't read hieroglyphics. Jesus. Just wingdings.
Uncle Ben groaned. He and the workers pulled out more tools and began prying and chipping away the hard crust that formed on the doorway over the centuries. Imagine like pudding and that crust that forms, but over centuries. An hour later, they got the door to slide an inch, then another inch, another. When it slid halfway open, Uncle Ben removed the light from his helmet and beamed through the opening. He peered into the next chamber for the longest time without saying a word. Sari and I moved closer. My heart began racing again. What did he see? I wondered. What was he staring at so silently? Finally, Uncle Ben lowered the light and turned back to us. We've made a big mistake, he said quietly.
All right, I'll just keep going. I'm in the bath already. I'm just trying to see how long this next chapter is. It's longer than the last one.
Chapter number... Wait up. A shocked silence fell over the room. I swallowed hard, stunned by my uncle's words. But then a broad smile crossed his face. We made a mistake by underestimating our discovery.
R.L. Stein, you have taken opening a door and made it like three chapters. I understand the suspense of building up and then, oh no, it sucks. And then, wait, this time we made a mistake. And then, it's just, come on. Like, I understand there has to be like a page count for Goosebumps when he turned them in, but, you know, you can knock that shit off a little bit. I hope the newer ones are just like, you know, half the length, but still have all the content. Who knows? We'll see. He exclaimed, this will be more important than the discovery of King Tut. This tomb is even grander. A gleeful cheer echoed against the stone walls. The workers rushed forward to shake Uncle Ben's hand and offer their congratulations. Hey, thanks for hiring us and paying us minimum wage to do this all night long, pushing open heavy doors and shit. It's really... Congratulations. Congratulations to us, everyone, Uncle Ben declared happily. We were all laughing and talking excitedly as we slipped through the narrow opening into the next chamber. As the lights beamed over the vast room, I knew I was seeing something I would never forget. Last night I had a dream, and I have no idea what it's about, but I only know because I was telling my buddy we were talking about dreams today, and I was like, this is the plan that's going to make me so fucking rich. Came to me in a dream. It's brilliant. Like, this is what I'm doing the rest of my life. And then I was like, oh, I need to write this down or at least record a memo on my phone. And then I was like, no, why would I waste time doing that? I could get more sleep. And I'm not going to forget something so brilliant. But, you know, obviously I immediately forgot what it was, so... You know, I'm still going to continue to be so fucking broke. Oh, God, listeners, I'm so broke. Fuck my life.
Even the thick layer of dust and cobwebs could not cover the amazing treasures that filled the chamber. My eyes darted quickly around. I struggled to focus on it at all. But there was too much to see. I actually felt dizzy. The walls were covered from floor to ceiling with hieroglyphics etched into the stone. The floor was cluttered with furniture and other objects. It looked more like someone's attic or a storeroom than a tomb. A tall, straight-backed throne caught my eye. It had a golden, radiating sun etched into the back seat. The seat back, whatever.
Behind it, I saw chairs and benches and a long couch. Do they have couches in Egypt? I don't know why I didn't see him just kind of chilling out on the couch getting high. Against the wall were stacked dozens of stone and clay jars. Some were cracked and broken, but many were in perfect condition. A gold monkey head lay on its side in the middle of the floor. Behind it, I saw several large chests. Uncle Ben...
Uncle Ben had a large chest?
That's not true. Let's keep going. Uncle Ben and one of the co-workers... Workers, not co-workers. Clearly Uncle Ben's above them because he clearly doesn't do any work. I need to stop saying clearly. Carefully pulled back the lid of one of the chests. Their eyes grew wide as they gaped inside. Jewelry. Sorry, Uncle Ben doesn't talk like that. Jewelry, Uncle Ben declared. It's filled with gold jewelry. Sari came up beside me, an excited grin on her face. This is awesome, I whispered. She nodded in agreement. Awesome. Sorry, I had to lean up in the bath to make sure it's still recording like I do because I freak out about that shit. We whispered in the heavy silence. No one else talked. Everyone was too overwhelmed by the amazing sight. The loudest sound was the clicking of Nyla's camera. Tick-a-tick-a, tick-a-tick-a. Uncle Ben stepped between Sari and me and placed a hand on our shoulders. Isn't this unbelievable? He cried. It's all in perfect condition, mint untouched. Like new. Untouched for 4,000 years. When I glanced up at him, I saw that he had tears in his eyes. Pussy. This is the greatest moment of Uncle Ben's life, I realized. We must be very careful, Uncle Ben started, but he stopped in mid-sentence, and I saw his expression change. As he guided Sari and me across the room, I saw what he was staring at, a large stone mummy case. Are they really called mummy cases? Hidden in shadow stood against the far wall. Oh, wow, I murmured, Morty-ish, as we stepped up to it. Made of smooth gray stone, the heavy lid had a long crack down the center. Is the prince buried inside? Sari asked eagerly. It took Uncle Ben a moment to reply. He stood between us, his eyes locked on the ancient mummy case. Is it sarcophagus? Is it just a mummy case? Coffin? I know it's not a tomb, but mummy case? Ugh. We'll see soon, he finally replied. As he and the four workers struggled to remove the lid, Nyla lowered her camera and stepped forward to watch her green eyes stare intensely at the lid as it slowly slid away. Inside was a coffin in the shape of the mummy. It wasn't very long, and it was narrower than I thought it would be. The workers slowly pried open the coffin's lid. I gasped and grabbed Uncle Ben's hand as the mummy was revealed. It looked so tiny and frail. Prince Koru, Uncle Ben muttered, staring down into the stone case. The prince lay on his back, his slender arms crossed over his chest, you know, like how Egyptians did, or vampires do when they sleep. Black tar had seeped through the bandages. The gauze had worn away from the head, revealing the tar-covered skull, like the zombie in the crate of Return of the Living Dead that comes up and dances all weird. As I leaned over the case, my heart in my throat, the black tarred eyes seemed to stare helplessly at me. There's a real person inside there, I thought, feeling a chill run down my spine. He's about my size, and he died. And they covered him with hot tar and cloth. And he's been lying in this case for 4,000 years. A real person, a royal prince. I stared at the stained, cracked tar that covered his face. At the gauze-like cloth, all frayed and yellowed, possibly due to pee-pee. As at the stiff body, so frail, so small, like a little Nana. He was alive once, I thought. did he ever dream that for 4,000 years he would be laying around this coffin and people would open it and stare at him and there would be a Goosebumps book about him that was clearly based in fact? Stare at his mummified body? I took a step back to catch my breath. It was too exciting. I peed, just a little. I turned the sweatshirt around my waist to the front so no one would notice and would just think that I'd been wearing a kilt the whole time. I saw that Nyla also had tears in her eyes. She rested both hands on the edge of the case and leaned over the prince's body. Her eyes locked on the blackened face. You know, that was tasteless even 4,000 years ago. These may be the best preserved remains ever found, Uncle Ben said quietly. Wait, I've seen like dinosaur skin preserved. Whatever. Of course, we will have to do many tests to determine this young man's identity. But, judging from everything else in this chamber, I think it's safe to say... Da, da, da. His voice trailed off as we all heard sounds from the outer chamber. Footsteps. Voices. I spun around toward the doorway as four black uniformed police officers burst into the room. Okay, everyone take a step back. One of them ordered, lowering his hand to the gun holster at his side. I feel like if they were really threatening, they would have already had the guns out. But, you know, then again, they're in a pyramid and sun's not out. Yeah, no, like the thing that they print on tank tops. Fuck it. Chapter number 15. Startled cries filled the room. Uncle Ben spun around, his eyes wide with surprise, like eyes do when they're surprised. What is happening? He cried. The four Cairo police officers, their features set in hard frowns, moved quickly into the center of the room. Be careful, Uncle Ben warned, standing in front of the mummy case as if protecting it. Do not move anything. It's all terribly fragile. He pulled off the hard hat. His eyes went from officer to officer. What are you doing here? I asked them to come. A voice boomed from the doorway. Dr. Fielding, that son of a bitch, entered. A pleased expression on his face. His tiny eyes danced excitedly. Maybe he was on ecstasy. I don't know why they'd be dancing. Omar, I don't understand, Uncle Ben said, taking a few steps toward the other scientist. I thought it best to protect the contents of the room, Dr. Fielding replied. He gazed quickly around the room, taking in the treasures. Wonderful. This is wonderful, he cried. He stepped forward and shook my uncle's hand enthusiastically. Congratulations, everyone, he boomed. This is almost too much to believe. Uncle Ben's expression softened. I still do not understand the need for them, he said, motioning to the grim-faced, pig-ass police officers. No one in this room is about to steal anything. Certainly not, Dr. Fielding replied, still squeezing Uncle Ben's hand. Certainly not. But word will soon get out, Ben, and I thought we should be prepared to guard what we have found. Uncle Ben eyed the four officers suspiciously, but then he shrugged his broad shoulders. Perhaps you're right, he told Dr. Fielding. Perhaps you are being very smart. Just ignore them, Dr. Fielding replied. He slapped my uncle on the back. I owe you an apology, Ben. I was wrong to try to stop you before. As a scientist, I should have known better. But we owed it to the world to open this tomb. I hope you'll forgive me. We have much to celebrate, don't we? Drinking break. It's actually also a get out of the bath break because, it's just ridiculous to stay here this long. So I'll keep recording in 1 second. Let me turn this off. All right. Out of the bath now. Had another cocktail and a cup of coffee. Now having another, Jesus, vodka soda with a little cranberry on it. Let's continue this. I don't trust him, Uncle Ben confided that evening as we walked from the tent to dinner.
There's no diner in Egypt. It's just dinner. I don't trust my partner at all. They should go to couples counseling. It was a clear night, surprisingly cool. The purple sky was dotted with a million twinkling white stars. A steady breeze made the palm trees sway on the horizon. The big campfire up ahead dipped and shifted in the wind. Is Dr. Fielding coming with us to dinner? Sari asked. She wore a pale green sweater, pulled down over black leggings. Do people wear leggings then? I guess so, right? They just didn't yoga butt it up all day? I don't know. I should start wearing yoga pants. Fuck it. Uncle Ben shook his head. No. He hurried to phone Cairo. I think he's eager to tell our backers the good news. He seemed really excited when he saw the mummy and everything, I said, glancing at the pyramid rising darkly to the evening sky. Yeah, he sure did, my uncle admitted. He certainly changed his mind in a hurry, but I'm keeping my eye on him. Omar would like nothing better than to take over the project. I'm going to keep an eye on those police officers of his, too. Why would you work with someone like that, who's very eager to steal things? Whatever. Swiper, no swiping, but seriously, Swiper, you'll be my right-hand man. Daddy, this should have... fucking Christ, give me a second. Daddy, this should be a happy night. Sorry, scolded. Let's not talk about Dr. Fielding. Let's just talk about Prince Koru and how you're going to be rich and famous. Uncle Ben laughed. It's a deal, he told her. Nyla waited for us by the campfire. Uncle Ben had invited her to join us for a barbecue. She wore a white... Oh, I thought Nyla was wearing... Forget it, it doesn't matter. It's just fashion, you know? I know a lot about fashion as I'm currently wearing Costco underwear and basketball shorts that I was painting in recently, so they're just covered in paint. It's called fashion. Anyway, she wore a white sweatshirt over loose-fitting jeans. Her amber pendant caught the light from the half-moon just rising over the tents. She looked really pretty. She flashed Uncle Ben a warm smile as we came near. I could tell by his face that he liked her. And he probably means liked her, you know? Like, ooh, Zach Morris. Sorry, you're taller than Gabe, aren't you? Nyla commented. Sari grinned. She loved being taller than me, even though I'm a little older. Less than an inch, I said quickly. People are definitely getting taller, Nyla said to my uncle. Prince Koru was so short, he'd be a midget today. Whoa, Arlstein. Whoa, okay. You can't use terms like that anymore, all right? You know, they're in Egypt, which is part of Africa. What else are you going to call them? Am I right? You can't say midget, little person. I'll switch it from here on. It makes you wonder why such short people built such tall pyramids, Uncle Ben said, grinning. What is that, like a driving big trucks joke? Nyla smiled and took his arm. Sari and I exchanged glances. I could see what Sari was thinking. Her expression said, "What's up with these two?" We had a great dinner. Uncle Ben burned the hamburger rolls a little, but no one really minded. Sari downed two hamburgers. Was she wimpy? I could only eat one. That gave her something else to boast about. Look who's going to be fat in a couple years, idiot. That's her boasting. I was really getting fed up with my bragging cousin. I found myself trying to think of a way to get back at her. Nyla and Uncle Ben kidded around a lot. That burial chamber looked like a movie set, Nyla teased my uncle. It was all too perfect. All the gold, all that perfect little mummy, Harrison Ford running through, getting attacked by strange things coming out of the walls, and snakes and bugs. It's all fake. That's what I'm going to write in my article. Uncle Ben laughed. He turned to me. Did you check out the mummy, Gabe? Was this one wearing a wristwatch? I shook my head. No wristwatch. See, Uncle Ben told Nyla, no wristwatch, so it's got to be real. I guess that proves it, Nyla said, smiling warmly at my uncle. Daddy, do you know the words to bring the mummy to life? Sari broke in. You know, the words on the tomb that Dr. Fielding was talking about. Uncle Ben swallowed the last bite of his hamburger, wishing it were rice. He wiped the grease off his chin with a napkin because gross. I can't believe that a serious scientist would believe such a superstition, he murmured. But what are the six words to bring the mummy to life? Nyla demanded, foretelling the rest of the book. Come on, Ben, tell us. If it was come on, Ben, tell us, please, then it could have been the six words, but what are the chances? Uncle Ben's smile faded. He shook his finger at Nyla. Oh, no, he declared. I don't trust you. If I tell you the words, you'll bring the mummy back to... Well, it should be life, but it says Fife, so I'll go with it. You'll bring the mummy back to Fife just to get a good photograph for your newspaper. We all laughed. Ho, ho, ho. We were sitting around the campfire. Its orange light flickered over our faces. Uncle Ben set his plate down on the ground and spread his hands over the fire. Teki karu, teki karu, teki kari. That's bullshit. He chanted in a deep voice, waving his hands over the flames. The fire crackled. A twig made a loud popping sound that made my heart skip a beat. Are those the secret words? Sari demanded. Uncle Ben nodded solemnly. Those are the words of the hieroglyphics over the entrance of the tomb. So maybe the mummy just sat up and stretched, Sari asked. I'd be very surprised, Uncle Ben replied, climbing to his feet. You're forgetting, Sari. You have to chant the words 5 times. Oh. Sari stared thoughtfully into the campfire. I repeated the words in my mind. Teki karu, teki karu, teki kari. I needed to memorize the words. I had a plan to scare Sari. And maybe spook out these Dune Reads Goosebumps listeners, am I right? Hold up. Where are you going? Nyla asked my uncle, because she wanted to go back to the tent with him and just do stuff, you know? He was going to put something of hers in her sarcophagus, a la Kanye. To the communications tent, he replied. I have to make a phone call. He turned and made his way quickly over the sand toward the row of canvas tents. Nyla let out a surprised laugh. He didn't even say goodnight. Oh, that's not a surprise laugh. That's a hurt laugh. Daddy's always like that, Sari explained, neglected, when he has something on his mind. I guess I'd better go too, Nyla said, climbing to her feet and brushing sand off her jeans. I'm going to start writing my story for the paper. She said goodnight and walked away quickly, her sandals making a slapping sound against the sand. Sari and I sat staring into the crackling fire. The half moon had floated high in the sky, its pale light reflected off the top of the pyramid in the distance. Nyla is right, I told Sari. It really did look like a movie set in there. Sari didn't reply. She stared into the fire without blinking. Uh-oh, is that like an eclipse? Probably not, then we'd all be blind. Whatever. Thinking hard, something in the fire popped again. Was it magnitude? The sound seemed to snap her out of her thoughts. Do you think Nyla likes Daddy? She asked me, her dark eyes locking onto mine. Yeah, I guess, I replied. She's always giving him this smile. I imitated Nyla's smile, looking like the girl at the end of the Window Licker video by Aphex Twin. And she's always kind of teasing him? Sari thought about my reply. And do you think Daddy likes her? I grinned. For sure. I stood up. I was eager to get back to the tent. I wanted to scare Sari. We walked toward the tents in silence. I guessed that Sari was still thinking about her dad and Nyla. Fuck, I just realized someone emailed me shit on the Dune Reads Goosebumps email that was like, hey, I did a version of the Goosebumps song. Do you want to play it? And I'm like, damn, I need to go back and listen to that after this chapter. Fuck. Okay, Google. Remind me in 5 minutes to check Dune Reads Goosebumps email.
Okay, do you want to save this?
Absolutely. The night air was cool, but it was warm inside the tent, likely due to farts. Moonlight filtered through the canvas. Sari pulled her trunk out from under her cot and got down on her knees to search through her clothes. "Sari," I whispered, "dare me to recite the ancient words 5 times? "Huh?" She gazed up from the trunk like an elephant. You know, because, forget it. "I'm going to chant the words 5 times, I told her. You know, see if anything happens. I expected her to beg me not to. I expected her to get scared and plead. "Please, Gabe, don't do it. Don't. It's too dangerous." Like a little bitch. But instead, Sari turned back to her clothes trunk. "Hey, give it a try," she told me. "You sure?" I asked her. "Yeah, why not?" she replied, pulling out a pair of denim cutoffs. I stared across the tent at her. Was that fear I saw in her eyes? Was she just pretending to be so casual about it? Yes, I think Sari was a little scared, and trying hard not to show it. I took a few steps closer and chanted the ancient words in the same low voice Uncle Ben had used. Luckily, every one of these books has the same voice. Old Dooner's voice. "Teki Karu, Teki Karu, Teki Karai." Wait, that's like the old Tooraloo, Tooraloo. Well, fuck, it doesn't matter. Sari dropped the jeans and turned to watch me. I repeated the chant a second time. "Teki Karu, Teki Kara, Teki Karai." Wow, I've been misreading it this whole time. Fuck it, doesn't matter. Just keep charging on. A third time, a fourth time. I hesitated. I felt a cool breeze tingle the back of my neck. Should I chant the words again? Should I go for number 5? All right. I listened to Dream Reaper's rendition of the Goosebumps TV show theme, which hits way harder than the one that I used that my buddy Dusty made. I'm not going to switch it out for the one of the intro because I don't really have permission, first off. And second off, like, I'm lazy. This is the last one I'm doing. The one I have is already cut down to where I want it. That fades out and fades in. It's good. Point is, if you want to listen to it, it's good. It's really good. It's at if you want to go on SoundCloud, it's a Dream Reaper Music. I don't know. Listen to it there. Chapter number 16. I stared down at Sari. Let me check this recording. God, I'm fucking retarded. R-worded. I stared down at Sari. She had closed the trunk lid and was leaning on it tensely, staring back at me. I could see that she was frightened. She chewed her bottom lip. Should I chant the words for a 5th time? I felt another chill on the back of my neck, as if... Oh, wait, never mind. I was going to make another Newport joke, but I feel like I did that earlier in this book, even though I don't remember reading, because I think it was like 2 months ago. It doesn't matter. It's just superstition, I told myself. 4,000-year-old superstition. I think it just becomes tradition or religion. There's no way that moldy, old, mummified prince is going to come back to life just because I recite 6 words I don't even know the meaning of. No way! I suddenly thought of all the old movies I had rented about mummies in ancient Egypt. In the movies, the scientists always ignored ancient curses. Or Ash from Evil Dead and Army of Darkness also ignored them, but he's not technically a scientist. He works at S-Smart. Shop Smart. Shop S-Smart. Warning them not to disturb the mummies' tombs. Then the mummies always came back to life to get their revenge. They staggered around, grabbed the scientists by the throat, and strangled them. Dumb movies, but I love them. Now, staring down at Sari, I saw that she was really scared. I took a deep breath. I suddenly realized that I felt scared too. But it was too late. I had gone too far. I couldn't chicken out now. Well, you can always chicken out. It's just called quitting. It's one of the best feelings ever. Just, you don't have to do shit you don't want to. Anyway. Teki Karu. Teki Kara. Teki Karai. I shouted the 5th time, but Dune said it the 2nd time because he misread it the whole time because Steel Reserve. I froze and waited. I didn't know what to expect. A flash of lightning, maybe. Sari climbed to her feet. She tugged at a strand of dark hair. "Admit it, you're totally freaked," I said. Unego. Unego? What is that, microwave pancakes? Unable to keep a grin from spreading across my face. No way, she insisted. Go ahead, Gabe. Chant the words. Chant them 100 times. You're not going to scare me, no way. But we both gasped when suddenly we saw a dark shadow roll over the tent wall. And my heart completely stopped when a hoarse voice whispered into the tent. Are you there? Chapter number 17. My legs trembled as I stumbled back closer to Sari. I could see her eyes go wide with surprise, and her eyes no lies and fear. The shadow moved quickly toward the tent opening. We had no time to scream, no time to call for help. Gaping into the darkness, I saw the flap pull open and a smooth head poked into the tent. Ugh. I let out a terrified moan as the dark figure slumped towards us. I guess that was not a terrified moan. That was just an exasperated moan. Let me try again. Oh! Yeah, that's too much. Oh! Yeah, it's fine. The mummy is alive! The horrifying thought swept through my mind as I backed away. The mummy is alive. Dr. Fielding! Sari cried. Huh? I squinted to see better. That's not how you see better. You open your eyes to see better, unless you're staring at the sun, but you weren't staring at the sun because it's nighttime, and I know that because I've been reading Goosebumps. Yes, it was Dr. Fielding. I struggled to say hello, but my heart was pounding so hard I couldn't speak. I took a long, deep breath and held it. You don't want to hear me hold a breath. I'll just keep reading. I'm looking for your father, Dr. Fielding told Sari. I must see him at once. It's extremely urgent. He's making a phone call, Sari replied in a shaky voice. Dr. Fielding spun around and ducked out of the tent. The flap snapped shut behind him. I turned to Sari, my heart still pounding. He scared me to death, I confessed. No jest. Hey, Dune, what? Read the rest. All right. I thought he was in Cairo, but he poked that skinny bald head into the tent. Sari laughed. Dune drank. Sorry, I made a cocktail between. He really looks like a mummy, doesn't he? Her smile faded. I wonder why he's in such a hurry to see Daddy. Let's follow him, I urged. The idea just popped into my head. Yeah, that's how ideas work, asshole. Yes, let's go. I hadn't expected Sari to agree so quickly, but she was already pushing open the tent flap. I followed her out of the tent. The night had grown cooler. As the sun went down, a steady wind made all the tents appear to shiver. Which way did he go? I whispered. Sari pointed. I think that's the communications tent at the end. She started to jog across the sand. As we ran, the wind blew and sand against our legs. I heard music and voices from other tents. The workers were celebrating the day's discovery. The moon cast a strip of light like a carpet along our path. Up ahead, I could see Dr. Fielding's lanky body leaning forward, lurching awkwardly toward the last tent. He appeared around the side of it. Sari and I stopped a few tents away. We ducked out of the moonlight into the deep shadows where we wouldn't be seen. I could hear Dr. Fielding's booming voice from the communications tent. He was talking rapidly, excitedly. What is he saying? Sari whispered. I couldn't make out the words. A few seconds later, two figures emerged from the tent carrying bright flashlights. They crossed the strip of yellow moonlight, then moved quickly into the shadow. Dicky-dicky-dicky-dicky-dicky. That's their sound. I don't know. I feel like I haven't interrupted in long enough. Sorry, that was just water. It wasn't just like a monster cocktail chug. Anyway, Dr. Fielding appeared to be pulling Uncle Ben, pulling him toward the pyramid. What's going on? Sari whispered, grabbing my sleeve. Is he forcing Daddy to go with him? The wind swirled the sand around us. I shivered. Two men were talking at the same time, yappity flappity flappity yappity bip bip bigadoo doo, shouting and gesturing with their flashlights. They're arguing about something, I realized. Dr. Fielding had a hand on Uncle Ben's shoulder. Was he shoving Uncle Ben toward the pyramid? Or was Uncle Ben actually leading the way? It's impossible to tell. Why is it impossible to tell? You said the guy looks like a mummy. Clearly he should stand out in the moonlight. I know what the moonlight looks like in Egypt and stuff. I've played the Aladdin video game on Genesis and Nintendo 64. Sorry, Super Nintendo. Shut up, you knew what I was talking about. Let's go! I whispered to Sari, quoting my second favorite Rancid album. We stepped away from the tent and started to follow them. We walked slowly, keeping them in view, but being careful not to get too close. If they turn back, they'll see us, Sari whispered, huddling close to me as we crept over the sand. She was right. There were no trees or bushes to hide behind here in the open desert. What about sand dunes? Or just like laying down? Maybe they won't turn back, I replied hopefully. We crept closer. The pyramid rose up darkly in front of us. Like, it rose up based on them walking towards it. It didn't rise out of the sand and then just go like, diamond in the rough, diamond in the rough. You know what I'm talking about. We saw Dr. Fielding and Uncle Ben stop at the opening in the side. I could hear their excited voices, but the wind carried away the words. They still seemed to be arguing. Uncle Ben disappeared into the pyramid first. Dr. Fielding went in right behind him. Like I said before, total top. Did he shove Daddy in? Sari demanded in a shrill, frightened voice. It looked like he pushed him inside. I don't know, I stammered. We made our way closer to the entrance. Then we both stopped and stared into the darkness. I knew we were both thinking the same thing. I knew we both had the same question on our lips. Should we follow them? Wait, didn't you get lost when you actually were following them with like proper lights and stuff? That happened in the first half, right? You probably shouldn't, but you're probably going to because goosebumps. For reference on how terrible I am, I've been recording this now for over 4 hours. Chapter 18. Sari and I exchanged glances. The pyramid seemed so much bigger at night, so much darker. Wait, she appeared darker at night? God damn, this kid and his insight into the world. So impressive. The gusting wind howled around its walls as if warning us to stay back. We crept behind a pile of stones left by the workers. Let's wait out here for Daddy to come out, Sari suggested. I didn't argue with her. We had no flashlights, no lights of any kind. I didn't think we'd get very far wandering the dark tunnels by ourselves. I pressed up against the smooth stones and stared at the pyramid's opening. Sari gazed up at the half moon. Thin wisps of cloud floated over it. The ground darkened in front of us. Because it's night again. You getting that, listeners? When the sun goes down, it becomes darker. You don't think Daddy is any kind of trouble, do you? Sari asked. I mean, he told us he didn't trust Dr. Fielding, and then I'm sure Uncle Ben is okay, I told her. I mean, Dr. Fielding is a scientist. He's not a criminal or anything. I mean, who's heard of the concept of a mad scientist, especially in a Goosebumps book? But why did he force Daddy into the pyramid in the middle of the night? Sari asked shrilly. And what were they arguing about? I shrugged in reply. I didn't remember ever seeing Sari so frightened. Normally, I would have enjoyed it. She's always bragging about how brave and fearless she was, especially compared to me. But there was no way I could enjoy this, mainly because I was just as scared as she was. It did look as if the two scientists were fighting, and it did look as if Dr. Fielding pushed Uncle Ben down into the pyramid. Sari crossed her arms over her sweater again and narrowed her eyes at the opening. The wind fluttered her hair. I'm shaking my hair to simulate wind. I hope you guys are all doing that too. Blowing strands across her forehead, like Jerry Only. But she made no attempt to brush them away. What could be so important? she demanded. Why did they have to go into the pyramid now? Do you think something was stolen? Aren't those police officers from Cairo down there guarding the place? You know how trustworthy Egyptian police officers are. I saw the four policemen leave, I told her. They piled into their little clown car. Jesus, I was going to make a clown joke and just cut myself off. Come on, brain. Work with me. Come on, vodka. Let's do this. They piled into their little car and drove away. Just before dinner. I don't know why. Maybe they were called back to the city. I'm just so confused, Sari admitted. And worried. I didn't like the look on Dr. Fielding's face. I didn't like the way he was so rude, just bursting into the tent like that. Who knew what us 12-year-old cousins could have been up to? Scaring us to death, not even saying hi. Calm down, Sari, I said softly. Let's just wait. Everything will be okay. She let out a sigh. But didn't say shit in reply. We waited in silence. I don't know how much time went by. It seemed like hours and hours. The silvers of cloud drifted away from the moon. The wind continued to howl eerily around the side of the pyramid. Where are they? What are they doing in there? Sari demanded like a little bleh. It's weird to me now. I don't know why. Maybe it's because times are a-changing. But when I always have said since, oh, goddamn, I've been doing this for what, over 8 years? That like a little bitch, it's weird to say when it's a female character. I don't know why. Like, I have no problem calling dudes bitches, but it's weird when it's like Sari's actually concerned about her dad, like a bitch. Like, that's uncomfortable. I don't know why. Everything's just been digging at me. I don't know what I'm doing. I started to reply, but stopped when I saw a flicker of light at the pyramid opening. I grabbed Sari's arm. Look, I whispered. The light grew brighter, like a light bright. A figure emerged, pulling himself out quickly. Dr. Fielding. As he stepped into the moonlight, I caught the strange expression on his face. His tiny black eyes were wide and seemed to be rolling around crazily in his head like wacky googly eyes. Brrr. His eyebrows twitched. His mouth was twisted open. He seemed to be breathing hard. Dr. Fielding brushed himself off with his hands and began walking away from the pyramid. He was half walking, half staggering. Hey-o, I get that one. Taking long, quick strides with his lanky legs. But where's Daddy? Sari whispered. Leaning out from the rocks, I could see the pyramid opening clearly. No light flickered. No sign of Uncle Ben. He isn't coming out. Sari stammered, and before I could react, Sari leaped out from our hiding place behind the stones and stepped into Dr. Fielding's path. Dr. Fielding, she cried out loudly, where is my dad? I pushed myself away from the stones and hurried after Sari. I could see Dr. Fielding's eyes spinning wildly. He didn't answer her question. Where is my dad? Sari repeated shrilly. Uh-oh. If she says it three more times, her dad will appear. Ooh! Dr. Fielding axed it? No, I can't do it there. As if he didn't see Sari. He stepped past her, walking stiffly, awkwardly, his arms straight down. Aw, Dr. Fielding done got the autism in the pyramid. Dr. Fielding, Sari called after him. He hurried through the darkness toward the row of tents. Sari turned back to me, her features tight with fear. He's done something to Daddy, she cried. I know he has. Heyo, it's now been 2 months since I recorded the beginning part of this, which goes to show you how much time alone I get ever, which is almost none and driving me crazier. I just re-listened to the introduction to this and wow, I was off. Or maybe I'm just manic and off compared to how I've been lately, but I said things are doing great, that they're good. Ah, no, that's terrible. That's completely inaccurate. The job I was talking about, I did get and was at for about a month. However, I quit once I learned more and more. It was going to be more money than I've ever made by far, and I had it and could have done everything, but their business practices were so shady and predatory, and I was like, I can't live with myself doing something that's immoral. Like, I don't need that on me.
Like, not like in like a karma thing, like some bad shit's gonna happen to me. I just don't want to be a perpetrator of bad shit in life. But I didn't end up moving with my buddy because he has a small one bedroom place. I went up there and helped him move at the beginning of December, and then I was there for 5 days after Christmas. I don't know. Things are a mess. I'm still needing to find work, which is all I've been doing. Is, you know, I'm still working barely part-time and living at my parents in my 30s and single and pathetic and terrible. But at the beginning of the year, I came back. I, you know, left for 5 days after Christmas to stay with my buddy. I was just, you know, sick and depressed, and he was off work for 5 days or a whole week after Christmas. So I went there the day after Christmas, especially because Christmas Eve, I found out that my ex-fiance has a new boyfriend. It was one of those things like I wasn't trying to find out, like I was just sick and was like looking at Instagrams, like other pictures you may enjoy based on things you've enjoyed. It's like, oh, it's her just loving on her new boyfriend. Awesome. Cool. That feels good. Especially as, you know, I was dumped because, you know, she didn't feel capable of love and wanted to find someone, or wanted to work on herself, or fucking, I don't know. It doesn't matter. Point is, it's not even like I want to still be with her. It's just fucking painful when you're doing so shitty and then being like, oh, you found someone new. Cool. I'm drinking because that's what I do. Anyway, so that was part of why I left town. But I got home the day before New Year's Eve, did New Year's Eve and stuff. And then New Year's Day went to go pay my health insurance and was like, ah, I'm out of money. Well, you know, almost out of money. I've, you know, gone through my savings in the last 8 months or whatever. So now I'm just desperately looking for work. But now I'm alone, so I can at least finish Goosebumps. I apologize for the depressing rant. I'm trying to get better at communicating with people. I realized that I stopped liking things on Instagram, which is like the only social media I use. And my solution emotionally was like, I need to force myself to like things because it's weird that I don't. And I don't know what my mental block is. And now I just stop looking at it because of the anxiety induced by double clicking the picture or pressing the heart. I don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about. Dear God, I'm fucking insane. All right. Chapter number 19. I turned back to the pyramid opening, still dark and silent. The only sound now was the howling of the wind around the stone pyramid wall. Dr. Fielding totally ignored me, Sari cried, her face revealing her anger. He stormed past me as if I weren't here. By the way, I have no idea what's going on in these fucking books. I know, I stammered weakly. And did you see the look on his face? She demanded. So evil. So totally evil. Sorry, I started. Maybe. Gabe, we have to go find Daddy. Sorry interrupted. She grabbed my arm and started pulling me to the pyramid opening. Hey, I know what that is. A pyramid opening. I don't know. Maybe of a giant. Fuck it. Hurry! No, sorry, wait, I insisted, tugging out of her grasp. We can go stumbling around the pyramid in the dark. We can't. That's a totally different thing. We'll get lost and we'll never find Uncle Ben. We'll go back to the tent and get lights, she replied. Quick, Gabe. I raised a hand to stop her. Don't raise your hand to women. You can't stop them. You know, you can't slap a bird. You gotta let it free. And if it was meant to be, you let it come back and then you slap it. Wait, here, sorry, I instructed. Watch for your dad. Chances are he'll be climbing out in a few moments. I'll run and get some flashlights. Staring at the dark opening, she started to agree. But then she changed her mind and agreed with my plan. Changing their minds. My heart pounding. I ran all the way back to the tent. I stopped at the tent opening and gazed down the row of tents, searching for Dr. Fielding. No sign of him. In the tent, I grabbed 2 flashlights. Then I went hurtling back to the pyramid. Please, I begged silently as I ran. Please be out of the pyramid, Uncle Ben. Please be safe. But as I frantically made my way over the sand, I could see Sari standing by herself. Even from a distance, I could see her frightened expression as she paced tently back and forth in the front of the pyramid opening. Uncle Ben, where are you? I wondered. Why haven't you come out of the pyramid? Are you okay? Sari and I didn't say shit. There was no need. We clicked on the flashlights, then had a short lightsaber duel. Wah, 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 wah. And then someone just light-speeded through us and killed us both, which totally negates the entire point of the original Star Wars movies and the point of the Death Star and all the people that died on missions to destroy things when they could have just light-speeded over there, but whatever. Then made our way into the pyramid opening. It seemed so much steeper than I remembered. I nearly lost my balance, lowering myself to the tunnel floor. Our lights crisscrossed over the dirt floor like applesauce. I raised mine to the low ceiling. Keeping the light high, I led the way through the curving tunnel. Ooh, that tunnel is becoming a woman. What the fuck am I talking about? I'm so not used to this anymore. All right, let me drink. Creeping along slowly, speaking of creepy things, I trailed one hand against the wall to steady myself. The wall felt soft and crumbly, you know, like old coffee cake, or I guess fresh coffee cake. Whatever. It was Entenmann's adjacent. Sari kept on my heels, her bright beam of light playing over the floor in the front of our feet. She suddenly stopped as the tunnel curved into a small, empty chamber. How do we know we're going in the right direction? She asked, her voice a quivering whisper. I shrugged, breathing hard. I thought you knew the way, I murmured. I've only been down here with Daddy, she replied, her eyes over my shoulder, searching the empty chamber that is Dune's heart. We'll keep going until we find him, I told her, forcing myself to sound braver than I felt, like a tiny toaster. She stepped in front of me, shining the light over the chamber walls. Daddy, she shouted. Daddy, Daddy, can you hear me? Her voice echoed down the tunnel. Can you hear me, Daddy? Even the echo sounded frightened. We froze in place and listened for a reply. Silence. Come on, I urged. I had to lower my head to step into the next narrow tunnel. Where did it lead? Where were we heading? God damn it. Where did it lead? Were we heading toward Prince Karu's tomb? Is that where we would find Uncle Ben? Questions, questions. I tried to stop them from coming, but they filled my mind, pestering me, repeating, echoing in my head, just like the bad thoughts, as we followed the tunnel's curves. Daddy, Daddy, where are you? Sari's cries became more frantic as we moved deeper and deeper into the pyramid. The tunnel curved up steeply, then leveled off. Sari suddenly stopped. Startled, I bumped into her hard, nearly making her drop her flashlight. Sari, I whispered to Sari. Oh man, if his cousin's name was Apologize, that would have also worked, but that would be a really shitty name. Gabe, look, she cried, pointing her beam of light just ahead of her sneakers. Footprints. I lowered my eyes to the small circle of light. I could see a set of boot prints in the dirt, a heel, and spiky bumps. Work boots, I muttered. She circled the floor with the light. There were several prints in the dirt, heading in the same direction we were. Does this mean that we're going the right way? She done asked. Maybe, I replied, studying the prints. It's hard to tell whether these are new or old. Well, they can't be from the Egyptians, right? They just rock sandals and shit. I don't know what Egyptians wore on their feet. I know it's just mostly, like, makeup for everyone in loincloths, right? It's hot there. Daddy, Sari shouted eagerly. Can you hear me? No reply. She frowned and motioned for me to follow. Seeing the many sets of prints gave us hope, a new hope, like a good Star Wars, and we moved faster, trailing our hands along the wall to steady ourselves as we made our way. We both cried out happily when we realized we'd reached the outer chamber to the tomb. Our lights played over the ancient hieroglyphs that covered the wall and doorway. "Daddy! Daddy!" Sari's voice cut through the heavy silence. All this daddy calling is making me very uncomfortable, assuming that my neighbors can hear me because they're always hanging out in the driveway outside of my window, but that don't matter. We darted through the empty chamber, then slipped through the opening that led to the tomb. The prince's burial chamber stretched out in front of us, dark and silent. "Daddy? Daddy?" Sari tried again. I shouted too. "Uncle Ben! Are you here?" Silence. I swept my light over the room's clutter of treasures, over the heavy chests, gazongas, the chairs, the clay jars piled in the corner. He isn't here, Sari choked out with a disappointed sob. I am a disappointed son of a bitch as well. Then, where did Dr. Fielding bring Uncle Ben? I asked, thinking aloud. There's nowhere else in the pyramid they might come. Sari's light came to rest on the giant stone mummy case. Her eyes narrowed as she studied it. "Uncle Ben," I shouted frantically, "are you in here somewhere?" Sari grabbed my arm. "Gabe, look," she cried. Her light remained on the mummy case. I couldn't figure out what she was trying to show me. "What about it?" I demanded. "The lid," Sari murmured. I gazed at the lid. The heavy stone slab covered the case tightly. "The lid is closed," Sari continued in a weird voice for a young girl, stepping away from me and toward the mummy case. Her fight remained on the lid. I'm going to assume light. Okay, I don't know if it's a typo in the book or what I'm reading off of, but I'm going to say her light remained on the lid. Yeah, so I still didn't understand. When we all left this afternoon, Sari explained, the lid was open. In fact, I remember Daddy telling the workers to leave the lid open for tonight. "You're right," I cried. "Help me, Gabe," Sari pleaded, setting her flashlight down at her feet. "We have to open the mummy case." I hesitated for a second. Just giving you a feel of what it sounds like to hesitate for a second. Let me show you again. Feeling a wave of cold fear run down my body. Then I took a deep breath and moved to help Sari. She was already pushing the stone lid with both hands. I stepped up beside her and pushed too. Pushed with all my might. The stone slab slid more easily than I'd guessed. Working together, Sari and I strained against the lid, pushing. "Push it to the limit!" We moved it about a foot. Then we both lowered our heads to peer into the mummy's case and gasped in horror. I feel like most of the chapters end with gasping in horror. So I got a new review or comment on the archive.org Dune Reads Goosebumps page where everything ever is hosted, but I didn't read it because I was anxious. I had anxiety. I don't know. I just didn't want someone to say like, "You suck," and then me just to agree and be bummed out. So let's scroll down and see what it says together. All right, cool. It's from Connor with a K, Phoenix 6898, and the subject is "It's pre-G," and then the body of it says "Liddy." All right, you know, I'm glad I brought you on that journey of realizing that someone was, you know, severely intoxicated. I don't know. I'm severely intoxicated and I can communicate fine. Doesn't matter. Chapter 20. "Daddy," Sari shrieked. Uncle Ben lay on his back, knees raised, hands at his sides, his eyes shut. Sari and I shove the heavy stone lid open another foot. Is he? Sari Dunstistus stammered. I pressed my hand on his chest. Drats! No boobs. His heart was thumping with a steady beat. He's breathing, I told her. I leaned into the mummy case. Uncle Ben, can you hear me? Uncle Ben? He didn't move. I lifted his hand and squeezed it. It felt warm, but limp, like a biscuit. Uncle Ben, wake up, I shouted. His eyes didn't open. I lowered the hand back to the bottom of the mummy case. He's out cold, I murmured. Sari stood behind me, both hands pressed against her cheeks. She stared down at Uncle Ben, her eyes wide with fear. I don't believe this, she cried in a tiny voice. Dr. Fielding left Daddy here to smother. If we hadn't come along, her voice trailed off. Uncle Ben let out a low groan. Sari and I stared down at him, hopefully. But he didn't open his eyes. We have to call the police. You can't just call the fucking mummy pyramid police, right? It's not like a thing. Plus, the reception has to be terrible through all that limestone. I told Sari. We have to tell them about Dr. Fielding. But we can't just leave Daddy here, Sari replied. I started to reply, but a frightening thought burst into my mind. You should set your parents on fire. That's not the thought. I felt a shudder of fear roll down my body. Sari, I started. If Uncle Ben is lying in the mummy case, then where is the mummy? Her mouth dropped open. She stared back at me in stunned silence. And then we both heard the footsteps. Slow, scraping footsteps. I can't do that by smacking on the desk. And saw the mummy stagger stiffly into the room. So yesterday, I got a haircut to cut off my awesome, super tall, ridiculous hair because I was like, fuck, I need to get a job and this is too silly. Like, it's fine when people know me, but it's ridiculous when they don't. And then tomorrow, I have an appointment to cover up the heart tattoo on my hand. And I'm just getting a big-ass killer whale for the entire length of my ring finger on the inside of my hand. And realized, oh wait, probably shouldn't have cut my hair off seeing as how I'm getting hand tattoos. That definitely makes me way less employable. I'm an idiot. I've made terrible choices and that's why my life is awful. Chapter number 21. I opened my mouth to scream, but no sound came out. It sounded exactly like this. The mummy lurched stiffly through the chamber doorway. He stared straight ahead with his vacant, tarry eyes. Under the ancient layers of tar, oh, that's shocking, the skull grinned at us. Presumably, very tarily. Scrape, scrape. His feet dragged over the dirt floor, trailing shreds of decaying gauze. Slowly, he raised his arms, making a terrifying crackling sound. Presumably, he was also snapping and popping. That's a Rice Krispies joke, baby. Scrape, scrape. My throat tightened in terror. My entire body began to tremble. Oh no, he's getting the DTs. I backed away from the mummy case. Sari stood frozen with her hands pressed against her cheeks, like the kid from Home Alone, Macaulay Culkin. That's the kid's name. He hung out with Michael Jackson. I wish I hung out with Michael Jackson. I don't think he ever touched kids after doing a bunch of reading, but I've already discussed that. I grabbed her arm and pulled her back with me. Sari, get back. Get back, I whispered. She stared in terror at the approaching mummy. I couldn't tell if she heard me or not. I tugged her back further. Our backs hit the chamber wall. The mummy scraped closer. Closer, staring at us through its vacant, blackened eye sockets. He reached for us with his yellowed, tar-crusted hands. Sari let out a shrill shriek. Run! I screamed, Sari, run! But our backs were against the wall. Literally. The mummy blocked our path to the doorway. Moving stiffly, awkwardly, the ancient corpse dragged itself closer. That's me on a dance floor, looking corpse-like and awkward, but always stiff. Just fucking, you know, like diamond, just fucking hard. That's why no one will dance with me. This is all my fault, I declared in a trembling voice. I said the words 5 times. I brought him back to life. What can we do? Sorry cried in a hushed whisper. I didn't have an answer. Uncle Ben, I shrieked desperately. Uncle Ben, help us. But the mummy case remained silent. Even my frantic screams could not awaken my uncle. Sari and I edged along the chamber wall, our eyes locked on the approaching mummy, its bandaged feet scraping over the floor, sending up dark clouds of dust as it moved heavily toward us. A sour smell rose over the room, the smell of a 4,000-year-old corpse coming to life. And probably farting too. farts. I pressed my back against the cold stone of the chamber wall, my mind racing. The mummy stopped at the mummy case, turned stiffly, and continued lurching toward us. Hey, I cried out as an idea burst into my mind. My little mummy hand, the summoner. Why hadn't I thought of it before? It had saved us last summer by raising a group of ancient mummies from the dead. Could it also summon them to stop? Could it make them die again? If I raised the little mummy hand up to Prince Karu, would it stop him long enough for Sari and me to escape? He was only seconds away from grabbing us. It was worth a try. I reached into my back jeans pocket for the mummy hand. It was gone. Found out that a girl that I had a crush on, totally, which it's kind of fun to have crushes, by the way, even in your 30s, you know, or I guess it makes me just feel normal after everything. But found out she had listened to some Goosebumps. And yeah, then she kind of made it clear that nothing's ever going to happen, which I feel like they're related in some sense, not just due to my pathetic existence. It's probably just this, right? I don't know. Chapter number 22. No! I uttered a surprised cry and frantically grabbed at my other pockets. No, mummy hand. Gabe, what's wrong? Sari demanded. The mummy hand. It's gone, I told her. My voice choked in panic. Great. He had one job, a hand job, and he couldn't even accomplish it. That's the easiest of the jobs. Scrape. Scrape. The foul odor grew stronger as the ancient mummy dragged nearer. I was desperate to find my mummy hand, but I knew there was no time to think about it now. We gotta make a run for it, I told Sari. The mummy is slow and stiff. If we can get past him, but what about Daddy? She done interrupted. We can't just leave him here. We have to, I told her. We'll get help and we'll come back for him. The mummy made a brittle, cracking sound as it stepped forward, the sound of an ancient bone breaking, but it continued toward us, moving stiffly but steadily, its arms outreached, because that's what mummies do. You know, they don't walk with their arms by their sides like us, no. They put them straight out for some reason. Sari, run. Now, I screamed. I gave her a hard shove to get her going. The room blurred as I forced myself to move. The mummy made another loud cracking sound. It leaned its body forward and reached out as we dodged around it. I tried to duck under the mummy's outstretched hand, but I felt the scrape of its ancient fingers against the back of my neck. Cold fingers, hard as a statue. I knew it was a touch I would never forget. My neck tingled. I lowered my head from its grasp and plunged forward. Sari let out low sobs as she ran. My heart raced as I hurried to catch up to her. I forced myself to run, but my legs felt so heavy, as if they were made out of solid stone, or just like a lot of fat, because apparently he's fat now. We were nearly to the doorway when we saw a flickering light. Sari and I both cried out and skidded to a stop. Whoop, 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 whoop. As a beam of light swept into the room behind the light, a figure stepped into the doorway. Shielding my eyes from the sudden brightness, I squinted hard, eager to see who it was. Nyla, I cried as she raised the flashlight beam to the ceiling. Nyla, help us, I choked out. He's come alive! Sari shouted to her. Nyla, he's come alive! She pointed back toward the mummy. Help us! I screamed. I bet Nyla's gonna be on the evil side. Nyla's green eyes widened in green surprise. What can I do? She asked. And then her expression changed quickly to anger. What can I do about you two kids? You shouldn't be here. You're gonna ruin everything. Damn it, I guess I shouldn't have got excited and had a theory that was obvious. Huh? I cried out in surprise. Nyla stepped into the room. She raised her right hand. In the dim light, I struggled to make out what she was holding up. My little mummy hand. She raised it toward the mummy. Come to me, my brother. Nyla cried. Oh, snap! Chapter number 23. How did you get my mummy hand? What are you doing? I demanded. Nyla ignored my questions. She held the flashlight in one hand. She gripped the little hand in the other, holding it up toward the approaching mummy. Come here, my brother, she called, waving the hand, summoning the mummy. It is I, Princess Nyla. Its legs cracked, its brittle bones breaking inside of the gauze wrappings. The mummy obediently dragged itself forward. Nyla, stop it. That'll always get rid of evil Goosebumps villains. What are you doing? Sari shrieked, but Nyla continued to ignore us. It is I, your sister, she called to the mummy. A triumphant smile crossed her pretty face. Her green eyes sparkled like flashing emeralds in the darting light. I have waited so long for this day. Oh, I get it. She's all excited because she, you know, is, you know, thousands of years old. And the mummy, and if I know anything about, you know, the royal families in Egypt, that the only way they can have a child is through horrifying incest. And she wants a baby. Her clock is ticking. Nyla told the mummy, I have waited so many centuries, my brother, hoping that someday someone will uncover your tomb and we could be reunited. You know what I'm talking about, though. You know, intercourse. Nyla's face glowed with excitement. The little mummy hand trembled in her hand. I have brought you back to life, my brother, she called to the mummy. I have waited centuries, but it's all worth it. You and I will share all this treasure and our powers. We shall rule Egypt together. Really? That seems like a small goal, you know? I feel like I could get a paramilitary group together and just rule Egypt. Well, not the world, you know? You got magic. As we did 4,000 years ago. She lowered her eyes to me. Thank you, Gabe, she cried. Thank you for the summoner. As soon as I saw it, I knew I had to have it. I knew it could bring my brother back to me. The ancient words weren't enough. I needed the summoner, too. Give it back, I demanded impotently, reaching out for it. It's mine, Nyla. Give it back. A cruel laugh escaped her throat. You won't be needing it, Gabe, she said softly. She waved the hand at the mummy. Destroy them, my brother, she ordered. Destroy them now. There can be no witnesses. It's weird that the mummy and her both speak English. Like, I assume the mummy would have heard their plan of let's run past it, you know? But, you know, let's keep going. No! Sari shrieked. She and I both dove to the doorway, but Nyla moved quickly to block our path. I shoved my shoulder against her, trying to push her away like a football lineman. But Nyla held her ground with surprising strength. Nyla, let us go, Sari demanded, breathing hard. Nyla smiled and shook her head. No witnesses, she murmured. Nyla, we just want to get back. We just want to get Daddy out of here. You can do what you want, Sari insisted desperately. Nyla ignored her and raised her eyes to the mummy. Destroy them both, she called. They cannot leave this tomb alive. Sari and I spun around, did a 360, and stayed in the same place, I kid, to see the mummy lumbering towards us. Its blackened skull glowed in the dim light. It trailed long strips of yellow gauze across the dirt as it dragged itself closer. Closer. I turned back to the door. Nyla blocked the way. My eyes darted frantically around the chamber. No way to escape. No escape. The mummy lurched towards Sari and me and reached out its cold, cold hands, presumably covered in tar, to obey Nyla's cruel command. Chapter number 24. Sari and I darted toward the door, but Nyla blocked our escape, its vacant eyes glazing behind us, its jaw frozen in a hideous skeletal grin. The mummy hurtled towards us, tarily, raising its arms stiffly, stretching out its hands, doing the dinosaur. Dove. Not the soap brand, dove at us with a final, desperate lurch, and to my shock, reached past Sari and me and wrapped its tarred hands around Nyla's throat. There's the tar. Her mouth opened in a choked cry of protest. The mummy tilted back its head as it gripped her. Its tarred lips moved, and a dry cough cut through the air. And then, the whispered words, dry as death, escaped the mummy's throat. Let me rest in peace. That's how I feel about napping as well. Nyla uttered a choked cry. The mummy tightened its fierce grip on her throat. I spun around and grabbed its arm. Let her go. I screamed. I would do it in the Let It Go theme from Frozen, but I still haven't seen that movie, and I can't imagine ever seeing another Disney movie again that isn't Star Wars, even though I kind of complained about the Star Wars one quite a bit. A dry wheeze erupted from its blackened skull. Its hands tightened around Nyla, bending her back, bending her towards the floor. Nyla's eyes shut in defeat. Her hands flew up helplessly. The flashlight and the mummy hand fell to the floor. I grabbed my little mummy hand and shoved it into my jeans pocket. Let go, let go, let go! I shrieked. I leaped onto the mummy's back and tried to pull its hands from Nyla's throat. It let out a defiant roar, a harsh whisper of anger. Hey, knock it off. Then it heaved itself up straight and struggled to toss me off its shoulders. I gasped, startled by the mummy's surprising strength. As I started to slide off the mummy's bandaged back, I reached out my hand, grabbing desperately, grabbing air, trying not to fall. My hand grabbed on to Nyla's amber pendant. Hey! I cried out as the mummy gave a hard toss. I tumbled off. The pendant tore off its charm. Aww. Damn, Nyla just got her snane snatch? Her chain snatch. Fuck, I fucked up that joke. Alright. I like how I pulled up my hood as if I were B Rabbit about to kick some rad freestyles, but in reality I was like, let's focus here. It fell from my hand, crashed to the floor, and shattered. No! Nyla's horrified wail shook the walls. The mummy froze. Nyla spun out of the mummy's grasp, backed away, her eyes wide with terror. My life! My life! She shrieked. She bent down and struggled to pick up shards of amber from the floor, but the pendant had shattered into 100 tiny pieces. My life! Nyla wailed. By the way, I've never related to a character more, just aggressively yelling, my life, my life. Anyway, staring at the smooth pieces in her palm, she raised her eyes to Sari and me. I lived inside the pendant, she cried. At night, I crept inside. It kept me alive for over 4,000 years, and now, oh. Her voice trailed off. Nyla began to shrink. Her head, her arms, her entire body grew tinier until she disappeared into her clothes. A few seconds later, as Sari and I gaped down in horror and shock, a black scarab crawled out from under the sweatshirt and jeans. The scarab moved unsteadily at first, Then it quickly scuttled away over the dirt floor, disappearing in the darkness. That beetle, Sari stammered. Is that Nyla? I mean, it's probably pretty clearly Nyla, but we'll see. I nodded. I guess, I said, staring down at Nyla's crumpled clothes. Do you think she was really an ancient Egyptian princess? Prince Karu's sister? Sari murmured. It's all so weird, I replied. I was thinking hard, trying to piece it all together, trying to make sense of what Nyla had said. She must have returned to her scarab form every night, I told Sari, thinking out loud. She crawled into the amber and slept inside it. It kept her alive until you smashed the amber pendant, Sari whispered. By the way, I forget the first half of this. Or the first half of this half. Was the amber pendant significant? Did she mention it a lot? Or were they just like, she wore a necklace? I just don't remember it being a big deal. I remember, like, scarab beetles being a big deal. Who knows? Let's go. Yes, I nodded. It was an accident, I startled. But I choked on my words as I felt a cold hand close on my shoulder and knew that the mummy had grabbed me from behind. Chapter 25. The hand rested on my shoulder. The cold seeped through my t-shirt. Let go! I screamed. Stranger danger! I spun around and my heart skipped a beat. Uncle Ben! I cried. Daddy! Sari leaped forward and threw her arms around him. Daddy, you're okay. He pulled his hand off my shoulder and rubbed the back of his head. He blinked his eyes uncertainly. Blink, blink. You know, like the sound from cartoons? Fuck it. Uncertainly, and shook his head, still a little dazed, possibly confused. All right, all right. Behind him, I saw the mummy standing hunched over, frozen, lifeless once again. Whew, I'm still groggy, Uncle Ben said, sweeping a hand back through his thick, black hair. Wait. Come to you, come. Is that Cherry Pop and Daddy's song? Is that what R.L. Stine was listening to when... I guess, never mind, he probably didn't write this. What a close call. It's all my fault, I admitted. I repeated the words 5 times, Uncle Ben. I didn't mean to bring the mummy back to life, but a smile crossed my uncle's face. He lowered his arm around my shoulders. You didn't do it, Gabe, he said softly. Nyla got there first. He sighed. I didn't believe in the power of the chant, he said softly, but I do now. Nyla stole your mummy hand and chanted the ancient words. Mechalikahai, mechahiniho. She used the summoner to bring the mummy to life. Dr. Fielding and I were both suspicious of her. You were? I cried, surprised. But I thought I became suspicious of Nyla at dinner. Uncle Ben explained. Remember, she asked me what were the 6 ancient words to bring the dead back to life? Well, I never revealed that there were 6, so I wondered how Nyla knew there were 6 words. I don't know, she was a reporter, right? Reporters are supposed to find things out. Oh well. Uncle Ben put an arm around Sari's shoulders too and led us to the wall. Then he leaned his back against the wall, rubbing the back of his head. That's why I hurried to the communications tent after dinner, Uncle Ben continued. I phoned the Cairo Sun. They had never heard of Nyla at the newspaper, so I knew she was a fake. But we saw Dr. Fielding pull you from the tent, Sari broke in. We saw him force you into the pyramid and... Uncle Ben chuckled. You... Two aren't very good spies, he scolded. Dr. Fielding didn't force me to do anything. It was all consensual and deep. He had spotted Nyla sneaking into the pyramid, so he found me in the communications tent, and the two of us hurried to the pyramid to see what Nyla was up to. We got there too late, Uncle Ben continued. She had already brought the mummy to life. Dr. Fielding and I tried to stop her. She hit me over the head with her flashlight. She dragged me to the mummy case. I guess she stuffed me inside. Sure wish I would have stuffed her before she turned all crazy. He rubbed his head. That's all I remember. Until now. Until I awoke and saw Nyla turn into a scarab. We saw Dr. Fielding hurry out of the pyramid, Sari reported. He walked right past me. He had the weirdest look on his face and... She stopped and her mouth dropped open. We all heard the sounds at the same time. the scraping feet on the floor outside the burial chamber. My heart jumped to my throat. I grabbed Uncle Ben's arm. The footsteps dragged closer. More mummies. More mummies brought to life, staggering toward the prince's tomb. It's probably just people, you know, because the other dude went out to do something, right? Dr. Fielding? I assume it's just people that he went to go grab. I'm just saying. Chapter number 26. I reached into my jeans pocket for my little mummy hand. Pressing my back against the wall, I raised my eyes to the chamber doorway and waited. Waited for the mummies to appear, but to my surprise, Dr. Fielding burst into the room, followed by four dark-uniformed police officers, hands at their gun holsters. That wasn't a Dune surprise, right? Am I right, listeners? Ben, are you okay? Dr. Fielding called to my uncle. Where is the young woman? She escaped, Uncle Ben told him. How could he explain that she had turned into a bug? The police explored the chamber warily. Their eyes came to rest on the mummy, frozen in place near the doorway. I'm so glad you're okay, Ben, Dr. Fielding said, placing a hand warmly on Uncle Ben's shoulder. Then he turned to Sari. I'm afraid I owe you an apology, Sari, he said, frowning. When I ran out of here, I must have been in shock. I remember seeing you outside the pyramid, but I don't remember saying shit to you. That's okay, Sari replied, quietly. I'm really sorry if I frightened you, Sari, Sari. the name and the word Sari, forget it. Dr. Fielding told her, your dad had been knocked unconscious by that crazy woman, and all I could think about was calling the police as fast as possible. Quit snitching. Well, the excitement is over, Uncle Ben said, smiling. Let's all get out of here. We started toward the doorway, but a police officer interrupted. Could I just ask you one question? He asked. That already is a question. You done asked twice. Staring at the upright mummy in the center of the floor. Did that mummy walk? Of course not, Uncle Ben replied quickly, a grin spreading over his face. If it could walk, what would it be doing in this dump? Drinking break. Well, once again, I turned out to be the hero of the day. And, of course, later in the tent, I wasted no time in bragging about my courage to Sari. Sari had no choice. You know, because people in Egypt, not known for being pro-choice. She had to sit there and take it. Also, disgustingly, I think they're into that, too. After all, I was the one who had stopped the mummy and turned Nyla back into a beetle by smashing her pendant. At least you're not too conceited, Sari shot back, rolling her eyes. Lame. Really lame. Well, that scarab crawled away and disappeared, she said. An evil smile crossed Sari's lips. I'll bet that bug is waiting for you, Gabe. I'll bet it's waiting for you when you're caught, waiting to bite you. I laughed. Sari, you'd say anything to try and scare me. You just can't stand the idea that I'm the hero. You're right, she replied dryly. I can't stand the idea. Good night, Gabe. A few minutes later, I was in my pajamas and ready for bed. What a night! What an amazing night! As I slid into the cot and pulled up the covers, I knew it was a night I would never forget. Ouch! The end. I guess the ouch is the bug biting him. You know? I don't know. Maybe also could have just laid down on the huge boner he had from being a hero. That could have hurt as well. But I don't, you know, I don't think that's what they're implying here. Anyway. Woo! New goosebumps up. Finally. It only took me over 2 months to record this. Like I said last time, it was, what, 4 hours? And this time, fuck, I don't even know when I started. Yeah, my life's a mess. Thanks to Geo, I can at least fly places now. So if anyone wants to fly me to a hub city for that airline and pay me to read give yourself goosebumps while I record it. I'll do it. I don't have a lot going on. Just let me know. That's worth someone's money, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, wow. Here's the whole series. I think I am going to re-record the ones that other people did. Or something. I definitely don't want to stop this, is my point. Again, contact info. Dune Twitter. Dune underline. I feel better saying underscore. Dune underscore M on Instagram. Facebook.com/DuneReadsGoosebumps. Dune at DuneReadsGoosebumps.com. Maybe DuneReadsGoosebumps@gmail only now works. I don't know, since the website got shut down. Anyway, yeah, I don't feel great about ending this on such a low note with my life, but, you know, I don't want to lie to you. I feel like I should have lied more and people would have appreciated it rather than me rambling about my life. I don't know. I'm trying. I really am. Oh, man. My life just got fucked up in April. God damn. Yeah, I don't know. Thank you for listening to all these. I really appreciate it. I know some people listen to every episode, which is baffling to me. And to those people specifically, I say, stay spooky, bitches.